Okay, I thought it might be quite nice. Some of you were there, I know. I wasn't old enough, okay? But we're just going to show about 4 minutes of the Queen's coronation. And I want to do this because I want you to think about the items that the Queen is given at her coronation. Some of you have been, going back. I know it was in black and white on the neighbour's little 5-inch telly that you may have seen it, but we actually are seeing it in colour. Perhaps the film isn't quite HD in those days, but we're just going to watch 4 minutes of the Queen's coronation. She doesn't usually give out coupons.
Receive this imperial realm. The Lord your God endure you with knowledge, with wisdom, with medicine, and with power from on high. The Lord knows you.
Eastward by the river, against the tower of Latin Mass.
Okay, I just want to pick up on those elements that were given to the Queen there. First of all, she had a cape put round her. What did that symbolise? Do you know? Yeah, may you have a cloak of righteousness. It's a symbol of the authority that was placed on her. If you go back in the Old Testament, there were people like Elijah and Elisha, and they passed on the mantle. You heard of it passing on the mantle, okay? So that was a cloak. It was like a sign of authority, okay, that went from one prophet to the other. What was she next given? Yeah. The orb. Okay, what did you hear what they said the orb represented? The world. And what was on the top of the orb? The cross. Okay, so it was showing that although when the Queen became Queen, she had a lot of authority over a lot more countries probably than there are today, the ultimate authority over the world was Jesus Christ and the cross. And we need to remember that. Next, she was given the scepter, which was a sign of her authority. And then she was given what?
A
rod. Okay, what did he say about the rod? Can you remember?
Justice
and mercy. Okay, those two things, that she was to uphold justice, but also to offer mercy. And then finally, she was given that crown. That was a kind of symbol again of her authority, but on the top of that crown again is a cross, isn't it? and that's a sign that she was actually under the authority of Jesus. We shouldn't underestimate what it means for our Queen to have been on this throne for 70 years, reigning over us, the longest reign in British royal history. But this morning I just want to take you back 475 years to 1547, to what would be one of the shortest reigns of any king. In 1547, a coronation was about to take place, and coming to the throne at the age of 9, imagine becoming the king at 9. I think he had some advisors, hopefully, at that time. Although he seems pretty wise. Just 9 years old was Edward VI, the only son of Henry VIII, and his mother was Jane Seymour. And little Edward didn't know that his reign would only last for 6 years before he would die from tuberculosis. So he died at 15. But as preparation was being made for Edward's coronation, three swords were brought out to him. And these represented the kingdoms at that time of Wales, England, and Scotland. And he said, but a fourth sword is missing. And he didn't mean Northern Ireland at the time. He said, a fourth sword is missing. The sword of God's word. He called for a Bible to be given to him. He asked for a Bible to be given to him. And he said, that book is the sword of the Spirit, and to be preferred above these swords. Without that sword, we are nothing. We can do nothing. We have no power. From that, we are what we are this day. And he that rules without it is not to be called God's minister or king. Under it, we are to live and govern the people and to perform all our affairs. From that alone, we obtain all power, grace, virtue, and salvation. That's remarkable words from a 9-year-old boy who realized the value of the Word of God. As we saw, as we've heard, in 1953, our Queen was presented with a Bible by the Archbishop of Canterbury and the moderator of the Church of Scotland. Our gracious Queen, said the Archbishop, to keep your Majesty ever mindful of the law and the gospel of God as the rule for the whole life and government of Christian princes, we present you with this book, the most valuable thing that this world affords. The Scottish moderator continued, here is wisdom. This is the royal law. These are the lively oracles of God. To say that the Bible is the most valuable thing is some claim. You think about some of the jewels that are in those crown jewels. They are priceless. But even more valuable is the Word of God. Now, many today would openly dismiss that claim about the Bible. Some would argue that the Bible is old hat and irrelevant today. Other people might argue that other holy books are just as valuable. Prince Charles has spoken of having an assortment of holy books at his coronation from all the religions across the world. Wonder if his coronation will ever happen. It's certainly getting on, isn't it, in time. And yet Prince Charles is called to be, as the Queen is, the defender of the faith. The faith. Only Christianity speaks of God saving mankind. All other religions are about man's attempts to appease God, to make themselves right with God. Only Christianity says that God is the one that has stepped in to save us. I can only tell you of my experience and my belief that God's word is the most valuable possession. It is unlike any other book. It tells us how we got here. It tells us why we are here. It tells us, actually, ultimately, where we are heading. And surely those are questions we all must ask at times. In the Bible, we learn that there is one God who made all things and to whom one day we're all given account. Yes, the Bible tells us the bad news about ourselves, that we have all sinned and fallen short of God's perfect standard, even the Queen. But also that God is loving and forgiving, that he so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish. Our Queen has served her country well for 70 years. But I again refer you to part of that Christmas message. I think we heard part of it earlier. She says this, although we are capable of acts of human kindness, history teaches us that we sometimes need saving from ourselves, from our recklessness, from our greed. God sent into the world a unique person, neither a philosopher nor a general, but a saviour with the power to forgive. And forgiveness lies at the heart of the Christian faith. So you've heard it from a 9-year-old boy, with wisdom perhaps beyond his years. And you've heard it from the lips of an aged queen with vast life experience. I can only endorse their thoughts and commend to you God's word, the greatest treasure the world affords, and the Saviour that it speaks of, the King of Kings, who outlasts all human monarchs, the King who left his throne in glory to die for you and me, and to give us hope and a future. God bless you.